It is 6 minutes after the hour of 12 noon Central Time. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. For those of you listening live, yes, you'd know it because you're dialing us in right now on thepowerhour.com or listening to us on our network of radio stations. If you're listening to us on WWCR, it is likely you are on a podcast and you cannot call in live, but our call-in number is 844-769-2944. It's our toll-free number. And we're continuing the subject matter, as I said before the break. Senator Ted Harvey was just here. He's the chairman of StopJoe.com, and they are targeting certain facets of the administration trying to defeat the president, A, to keep him from running again and to unseat and resolve issues with those that are fighting the conservative movement. Our next guest, obviously, is a continuation because we were talking about the border crisis as being one of those precipitous issues that have gotten people very riled up. And there is a booklet out now called Crashing the Border, The Left's Manufactured Crisis. And we have the author of that booklet. I've got a copy of it here in PDF. It's 34 pages long. And if you just type in Crashing the Border, The Left's Manufactured Crisis, you should be able to get a copy. DiscoverTheNetworks.org editor John Perrazzo joins us here on the Power Hour. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
And as far as this, you know, we were discussing before we went on, you know, it's amazing if you're watching television, folks, and you see all of these illegals coming across the border, besides the fact that we talked that it looked like such an orchestrated momentum, all these people are wearing Biden T-shirts. And I'm just like shocked. And it's like, wait a minute, where are they getting these T-shirts from? What's your take on that, John?
Yeah, we were discussing that just before coming on. It's true. This is a very well-organized movement. These are not. This is not like a grassroots movement of people who have picked themselves up off the floor and decided to head northward and just happened to run into one another on the way up. It's a very well-organized movement, very well-funded by the left, by people like George Soros, by some of the left-wing foundations in this country that support the left, and by basically wealthy forces in this country, the same types of wealthy forces that funded the Black Lives Matter movement in the 2020, in the year of 2020 especially. So these people are well-funded, and as we were also discussing off the air, when you look at these people, they are well-groomed, they're clean, their outfits are well-pressed, they are not people who've been dragging themselves through muddy terrain. They're well cared for, they're well fed. So we're not looking they project an image of a pitiful population that's desperately in need of a better life. And certainly they are looking for a better life here, but they're also very well organized, and they are not suffering terribly when they're in these caravans.
Okay. We've got callers already. Jerry in Maryland, you have a question for John Perrazzo?
Well, my question or my comment concerned your previous guest, the senator. I just wanted to make a comment. Well, since this, I guess the focus is the immigration here, correct?
That is a lot of what we're talking about right now. Yes, and Senator Ted Harvey did allude to the fact that the border crisis was a real bone of contention with a lot of voters out there that could shift the pendulum to the other direction from what it is now. But in the meantime, the damage is being done, Jerry. So is your comment along the lines of what we're talking about as far as the border goes?
Well, not initially, but I would like to say something since you want me to focus there. What is it that I heard the tail end of what this gentleman was saying? These people seem to be well taken care of and well funded. What is at the epicenter of, in other words, who's organizing these groups and bringing them up over these thousands of miles and everything else over? You know, really, we know some of the country that they're traveling over, some of the areas they're traveling over. You know, like a no man's land and stuff. Yet they're able to get up here. There must be something really big in these countries, maybe even of a global scale that is organizing these people and bringing them up here, and then once they get over the border, then filtering them out through the country. Who do you think is at the epicenter? What organization or institution do you think is at the epicenter of this?
Well, that's a great question. At the epicenter of these caravans is an organization called Pueblo de Fronteras, Pueblo Sin Fronteras, excuse me, which means people without borders. And it's an organization that essentially wants open borders all over the world. They want Mexico to be an open borders country. They want the United States to be an open borders country. And they've done yeoman's work in organizing these campaigns where you see the caravans of thousands of people moving northward. As far as others who come here with the help of coyotes and the drug cartels, et cetera, they're paying lots of money on their own, sometimes bankrupting themselves and going into complete debt and poverty to try to get themselves and their families into this country. And those people are absolutely at great risk and in great danger when they come up here. Many of them suffer violence. Many of them are raped on the way up here, tortured, abused in many ways. So it's kind of a two tiers of people coming up here.
Did that answer
George
your
Soros
question,
runs
Jerry?
An organization called the Open Society, which has tentacles and filters money into these other smaller organizations, probably like the ones you mentioned. But I think there's organizations even bigger than Soros that's actually working with Soros on it. You know, that's promoting globalism, because that's the reason for, I think, behind all of this is that, you know, like some type of a globalist society with, you know, runs, for example, say through the UN but like almost a one world government type of a deal. I think that's been something they've been working on. Have you looked in to see who's really behind these smaller groups that you just mentioned, and even somebody who really could be working with Soros is even bigger and more powerful and has more power overall than those kind of billionaires do?
It's very difficult to trace that money, but Soros is absolutely one of the major funders in the world of the open borders movement. So is the Ford Foundation, which is an enormously, just every bit as influential as Soros's Open Society Foundations. There are others as well. Something called the Tides Foundation is immensely is deeply involved in this as well. So there's a lot of interests involved. I'm focusing primarily on foundations that are here in the United States. That's really where the focus of my research has been.
Yeah, we appreciate your call, Jerry. Thanks so much for calling the Power Hour. John, one of the things that I noticed here is that the NGOs are getting involved, especially Catholic Charities. They seem to be doing a lot of shipping of these people from point A to point B. And I'm just wondering, you know, why the Republican Party and people that really have a genuine interest don't take these people, rent every single bus, charter every single plane, and put these people that come across the border into these planes and buses and ship them off to Delaware and Maryland, to Rehoboth Beach, to Martha's Vineyard, to the places where these people live, to San Francisco, to Nancy Pelosi and Maxine Waters' backyards, and just dump them off in their backyards. That would probably change things, because the way things look right now, it's like, oh, not in my backyard. That seems to apply to a lot of what's going on here.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of Republicans certainly have spoken out about it. Many, I think, are afraid to be smeared as racists if they do speak out against it. But the scenario you just described would certainly be a fitting one. By the same token, we see the flip side of that coin that you described being carried out. The Biden administration has, in fact, enlisted the U.S. military to actually secretly move these illegals around in the middle of the night, in the dead of night, to various places, particularly targeting, not surprisingly, red and purple states like Florida, Kentucky, Georgia, North Carolina, places like that, Tennessee, even large cities in Texas, because Texas, of course, is a focus for the Democratic Party trying to turn it blue. So the idea is to get these people distributed and allocated in these various geographic places where they could, down the road, if they become legalized and become able to vote, they could switch the electorate and transform it basically from blue or purple, from red or purple to blue. That's the goal of the Democrats, is essentially to remake the American population, and particularly it's so cynical and so devious. They're targeting geographic places where the import of these particular people who are hopefully going to turn into Democrat voters down the road for the Democrats, where they could actually have the most influence in changing the electorate, and then, of course, changing the electoral map and the balance of power in Congress.
Of course, and I think that the thing that really disturbs me is, and I'm speaking now for all the people who came into this country legally and went through the entire immigration process and took the tests and did the studying and paid the fees and did everything that they were supposed to do to become bona fide United States citizens, to have a very productive and successful life in America. And there's countless stories of people out there, and they're the ones sitting here looking at what's going on TV. And I would think, and I'm speaking for all of them right now, I would be totally incensed that all these people are just allowed to come in here willy-nilly and be given citizenship or asylum or whatever the case may be by an administration who is hell-bent on just a power grab. And they basically have these folks that are out there now have been just about as much as disenfranchised as the people that feel their 2020 election was stolen.
Yeah, you said it beautifully. There's no greater barometer of the contempt that this administration has for the American people, not only for native-born Americans, but as you say, immigrants who came here the legal way from every part of the world. It's a slap in the face to them, and of course it's a slap in the face to every taxpayer, including those particular immigrants, because essentially the taxpayers of this country are being asked to shoulder a tremendous burden that comes with this import of a massive population of people who are going to be largely dependent on the government. It just shows a great disrespect and a contempt for the electorate, I think.
Okay, and Esther in Washington, you're on the Power Hour. What do you have? You have a question for John?
Yes, thank you. In the past, we've always heard throughout the year about the illegal immigrants from Mexico going into Canada. And since COVID, we have had nothing. There's been no information about that at all. Could you comment on that?
I just want to make sure I heard you about legal immigrants from Mexico going into Canada.
Yes.
Yes, that's it. I have to be frank, that's an area where I have not done research, so I really cannot comment on that. I'm sorry.
All right, because usually there's always a percentage that is the ratio is the same as to the, if there's an influx, then the percentage gets bigger. And they're going into Canada, but Canada is saying absolutely nothing about it.
Yeah, that's something that I have not looked into. I know that during the Trump administration, with regard to Mexico and the United States, negotiated some very, very important deals and agreements with Mexico, where Mexico actually helped us to block the northward flow of these illegal migrants into our country, and that really did a tremendous amount for us to keep these people out of our country from coming here illegally. As to your question about Canada, I'm so sorry I cannot answer that.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Esther, for your call. We appreciate you calling the Power Hour. And this is something else, John, that's kind of got me puzzled, because, you know, the thing is people are actually coming through. They don't care what ports of entry they're coming through. I mean, it's just like the boat people coming from Haiti. This is just another way of the Dominican Republic or Cuba. And now they're saying, hey, look, we don't have to go to America. All we have to do is figure out a way to get to the Mexican border. Get to one of the shores of the Yucatan Peninsula or one of these other places close, and all we have to do is just migrate, and we come in through that direction. Apparently, everybody's getting their cues. They're getting their cues from somewhere, and that's the thing that's just blowing my mind, that, you know, people could be, you know, feeding these ideas, not understanding what this is going to do to our economy and the burdens that's going to put on the individual states. You went into some detail in your booklet about that, did you not? Could you explain that?
Yeah, well, there's burdens of various types associated with this type of migration. and the numbers, of course, are astonishing when you think about it. In the latter part of the summer, July, August, September, even we had a little bit over 200,000 people per month encountered at the border by our border patrol. I think in September that number may have dipped under 200 to about 192,000 or something like that. But it's an astonishing number. These are all record numbers that we've never seen before, and they don't even include the number of people who actually evade border patrol and slip into the country unnoticed. When you factor those in, you're talking over a quarter of a million people at least coming into the United States illegally. And so what happens is they come in, and once they are here, there's been research done on the on what illegal migration costs the American taxpayers financially. A very conservative estimate of that is at least $135 billion per year for expenses associated with all sorts of things, whether it's their education, to which they are entitled to a public education when they're here, medical care in various forms, welfare costs associated with certain programs that they are eligible for. So it's an enormous amount of money, again, a slap in the face to the American taxpayer, a slap in the face to not only native born Americans, but people who immigrated here illegally. And then there's the cost of crime. There's been a misconception over the years promoted by the left that illegal migrants in America commit crimes at lower rates than native populations. It's absolutely not true. We have pretty solid data about that now. And if we figure that the illegal population is somewhere in the neighborhood of 3.5%, that 3.5% we now know is responsible for more than, say, 13% of all the crimes committed in this country, and more than 12% of the murders. And they constitute somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 to 22% of people in federal prison. So again, these are all enormous costs, not only financial but social and economic, but social and criminal justice related, that tend to be ignored in the argument about illegal immigration. But it's a vital part of the calculus in deciding what we need to do to handle this. It's a tremendous problem.
Right now, so is the this particular booklet you put out, how many pages is the actual booklet? Because I'm just looking at a PDF of something that looks like it's 34 pages, and I'm not sure. Most everything that we're discussing on the border, and see, of course, Rahm Emanuel came up with the old saying, never let a good crisis go to waste. Well, when you actually manufacture the crisis in the first place with nefarious intentions, this obviously posits a real problem, because a lot of what people have been intimating is that there's some aiding and abetting going on of crimes that are committed by these people, because they basically just left the border open and let every criminal and wanton terrorist come into this country. And I don't believe that we have seen the actual blowback and windfall. And I'm talking about this in a negative sense, which you just alluded to, regarding the number of crimes and potential major issues. And I'm talking about something along the lines of a 911 style attack by people coming into this country illegally. And, you know, you're going to let in the wheat with the chaff. And the problem is that even though there are people coming into this country with good intentions, there are people coming into this country, as you pointed out so eloquently, that do not have good intentions. And we have not seen the last of this in a major way. What's your take on that
before we close? Not in any way. The Biden administration, from the moment Biden and the other Democrats, I mean, he's not to be distinguished from any other Democrat. They all essentially embraced the same philosophy. But he was very clear from the beginning of his campaign that he was going to reverse Trump's policies on border security. And Trump was very eloquent when he spoke about this issue. He went before the nation back in the early part of 2019, and he talked about essentially the need to prevent drugs and crime and from flowing across the border. And he gave actual statistics so that the American people could hear it directly from him. Of course, he was ridiculed and condemned for being a racist, etc. But he laid it out on the line. And he also talks, he said something very, very, I think, very poignant, where he talked about people who criticized the border wall as something that was xenophobic and racist and immoral, etc. And he said, then why do wealthy politicians themselves build walls and fences around their own homes? They don't do
it. Yeah, like Joe Biden just did around his Rehoboth Beach house.
People on the inside, and he drew the analogy to the border wall for the United States. He said it very beautifully. He never received the credit for saying it in such an eloquent way, but it was a very memorable moment in his presidency, I think. And just quickly as to your question about the pamphlet, the physical copy is about 80 pages long.
Okay, so now is that available on discoverthenetworks.org?
It's available through the David Horowitz Freedom Center. And also, what was I going to say? It's also available. That's the hard copy is available through the David Horowitz Freedom Center, and the you can also get it for free on frontpage.com. You can type in the title, which is called "Crashing the Border," and it will take you in its search feature to the pamphlet, and you can actually read it for free there.
Sounds good. I appreciate that. John Prazo, thank you so much for your time and enlightening us as to what is really going on as far as the left's manufactured crisis. And, of course, they're going to keep this up, and hopefully we'll have you back on the show. And thank you, callers. Very productive questions and comments in this segment today. And, of course, we're going to be coming back to you after the break with our final segment of the Power Hour. What can I say? It's been interesting. And thank you so much, John. Appreciate your time and your guest appearance here on the Power Hour. So this Crashing the Border, you heard it right now, frontpagemag.com, and you can go there and download a copy of that for free. All right? Yeah, this is kind of a scary thing because we, I don't believe, have seen the last of any of what is going to take place as a result of this illegal migration. We already know that some of the migrants have surrounded homes in South Texas and various other places and intimidated and threatened the occupants of the homes, destroyed property, littered, camped out, trespassed. We already know that's going on. Texas and other states are starting to react. We'll be back to talk about some of the great products from Silver Botanicals after the break here on the Power Hour. Dave Krieger, stay with us.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Each and every one of you are very special to us here at the Power Hour, which is why we offer this special for you. Now through this Sunday, 10% off on all Miracle Skin products at thepowermall.com. That's right, all Miracle Skin products are 10% off all week long. Call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 or online at our newly designed thepowermall.com store. Buy from the good guys. Buy from thepowermall.com. Hurry, sale ends this Sunday.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. to order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
And once again, welcome back to the Power Hour. Dave Prieger with you. It is 12:32 Central Time, Thursday, November 4th, 2021. It is just amazing, the spate of guests and the callers that we've had this morning. Thank you so much for paying attention to what's going on in your world. 844-769-2944 is our open line number. Lines are open, and now we're going to kind of shift gears a little bit here because we're going to focus on some of the stuff that is carried on the Power Mall. That's the Power Mall, thepowermall.com. And one of those is the Silver Botanicals, all right? And just remember that name, Silver Botanicals. It's the easiest way to do because we're having a 10% off Silver Botanicals sale through the 12th of this month. These, I think, would make really good Christmas gifts. We have them in stock. You don't have to worry about supply chain issues. We like that, right? Dean DeWolf is on the show with us. Silver Botanicals, one of their founders, Dean and Raymond D'Amico in 2010, set this up with the help of family and friends. And Dean is an organic chemist, manufacturer, and formulator. And boy, is it, you know, really good to have somebody that's in the bottom line of the science on this stuff that can actually clarify how great these products are. And we're talking about the Silver Mist Humidifier Additive, the Silver Shield Sanitizer, the deodorant roll-on, the spray, the refill, the gifts from the Magi Room and the body spray and the Total Body Skin Therapy, as well as the silver, all of the silver products that are on there. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the stuff that might be going on in your current deodorant and things that you might be using that not a good thing. So, Dean, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks for having me.
So as far as the products, we're talking about the toxicity in deodorants. And, I've always you shop the store shelves. You know, when you go out to the grocery store, because things just, you know, they're there and they're immediate and people can get their hands on them. And it's like, okay, yeah, but what's in this stuff? And I've always wondered about that, because there's always been that the foray of people warning that this aluminum that's in there is it's linked to Alzheimer's and breast cancer. And there's other junk in there too. And it looks like one of the ingredients might be antifreeze. Is that right?
Well, yeah, propylene glycol. Well, that can be used as antifreeze. And, It's a common additive and kind of filler for a lot of personal hygiene products that we tend to like to stay away from. In fact, our kind of modus operandi is anything that isn't naturally found in the body or in the environment, we would prefer to keep out of our product. So whenever we started our company back in 2010, we focused initially on deodorant, and our big concern was the aluminum, which we know is not meant to be in the body. It's not an essential, you know, it's not a material or an element that should be or has any use in the human body. So we wanted to make a product that didn't have aluminum, which is the kind of the primary antiperspirant material used in most of the deodorants and antiperspirants that are out on the market. So when we started the company, we couldn't really find any deodorants that were that didn't have aluminum, and the ones that didn't work very well. So we, being an organic chemist who focused on organometallic chemistry, I knew that silver and some other materials like silver, copper, for example, but colloidal silver being something that was really good at fighting bacteria, that we were going to try and formulate using colloidal silver and essential oils, both materials known to be very helpful in fighting bacteria and keeping good hygiene. So we just formulated with those two materials as the primary active ingredients, and then using other all-natural ingredients, we came upon some formulas that worked really good at keeping odor down all day. And so that's kind of where we got our start, is with our Silver Shield deodorant, and then expanded into other hygiene products as we found that that was a really effective way at helping with odor, body odor.
Yeah, but what I find really unique, this is, folks, this is where the entrepreneurial spirit comes from. Because right after Dean and Raymond D'Amico got done creating this stuff, they start selling this stuff at local farmers markets in Central Texas. And there's one thing that my wife and I like doing, and that's hanging out at farmers markets. We love going to those things because you get to meet the neatest people there. And all of them, every single one of them are entrepreneurs. And so that's the neat thing about it. So tell me about your start in farmers markets. How did people react to this product when you first brought them out?
You know, it was a little bit slow at first, and it's those farmers markets, you're right, are great incubators for entrepreneurial ventures, because you get to connect with your customers, talk to your customers, get feedback from your customers. So it's a great way to introduce a product and see what the feedback is from the people who are using it. It's really difficult to get that kind of information without such a marketplace. So that's where we started. So we started there every weekend selling, and then we just got great feedback from our customers saying, hey, this stuff works for, you know, a day or 2 days if I'm not showering, or even 3 days if I'm on a camping trip. We found people were telling us that it was helping with, you know, body odor. So, and then wow. Some of the products didn't work as great, and then we would tweak it. I have a background. I spent 15 years in formulation chemistry. And so, you know, based upon the feedback, I was able to make a change here or there, or if the scent was something that people weren't exactly happy with, we could, you know, adjust that. So it was just a great way to adjust and find out what really works best for our customers. And so that was where we got our start. We probably spent about 4 years or so going to farmers markets, and then after about 4 years, our sales were just such that it was hard to justify spending our weekends working there when we were spending the whole week making products and everything. So we were getting quite exhausted. But it's a great place to start an entrepreneurial venture, going out to farmers markets.
Yeah, well, we appreciate that too, especially here in Central Texas. Now the toxins. And see, people, you got to understand, and I've always wondered about this stuff. Every time you get the stick of deodorant out, you wipe it on yourself, and sometimes it gets on your clothes, and it leaves white marks, and people, you know, you walk around with it on your shirt all day, and people wonder what happened to you. You know, it's not just the fact that it, you know, gets on your clothes, but the thing is when it gets in your skin, you know, certain of these things, like phthalates, I mean, there are things about phthalates that apparently affect your health. And Dean, you figured this out. I mean, you've eliminated all this stuff. And I'm just wondering, when you started to discover these toxins, how did all this come about that this list that you sent me came out with parabens and triclosan and things like that? What do they do?
Well, there's a variety of physiological disruptors that, you know, or ways that they can disrupt our physiology. Endocrine disruptors, just blocking our sweating mechanism itself, like with aluminum, can be problematic. The triclosans can also have issues with endocrine disruption. But one of our primary concerns, at least initially, was the aluminum, which its mechanism that it interferes with our normal physiological function is forming plugs in our pores such that our sweat glands get blocked up. And once the sweat glands get blocked up, then really many mechanisms by which the body detoxifies gets disrupted. And so aluminum is problematic in many ways. You know, it's also been found to be in the plaques that are associated with Alzheimer's. And just like whenever applying it to the underarm where a lot of our lymph nodes run, and that's where our body kind of, the lymph system kind of accumulates toxins and then gets rid of these toxins, and they get eliminated through these, partially at least, through the sweating process. And these aluminum salts that block these pores that allow us to release heavy metals and other toxins gets disrupted when applying aluminum salts. Our mechanism by which our deodorant works doesn't block the pores, but really just, controls the bacteria that ultimately are the cause of odor. And by, you know, keeping those bacteria from the populations from blooming whenever you sweat, in essence, that mechanism by keeping those bacteria under control keeps the odor under control. And then also using that in conjunction synergistically with essential oils that have been known to, like, say, for example, cypress oil, which is one of the oils that is in our deodorants, that kind of naturally just have an astringent effect, which kind of reduces the pore size but still allows you to sweat. You know, using colloidal silver and essential oils, them together work synergistically in our formulas to help eliminate odor and keep sweating reduces the amount of sweating, but doesn't eliminate sweating, which you shouldn't really want in the first place, because sweating is a natural way in which we thermoregulate our bodies and also eliminate toxins from our bodies.
Yeah, that was right on the tip of my tongue, because when you started talking about that and the fact that you're wiping this coating on your underarm that has aluminum in it, if you are detoxing and you're taking detox mechanisms at all to try to get your body straightened out and clean your body out, this stuff actually disrupts that process from what you're telling me.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I don't know if people know, but for example, people who eat a lot of curry, you could smell how your sweat changes based upon the foods that you eat. It's kind of like just a common sense way of seeing that, yay, your body is eliminating things that are brought into the body through the sweating mechanism. So, and it's been shown that, like, even with mercury and other heavy metals, that whenever they are ingested, that the content in your sweat also increases. So some people will argue, sweating isn't a mechanism by which we detox, but the science really doesn't back that up. There's lots of evidence that shows that our body uses our sweating mechanism to get rid of toxins. So, you know, applying materials that block one of our primary areas, our underarms. Now, I understand some people do have, hyperhidrosis or excessive sweating, and that is a problem for them, and you know, having something to help reduce that sweating is a good idea, but might be a good idea to help the, you know, in their comfort. But completely blocking it, I don't think is very smart. It would be better to choose something that helps just reduce that excess of sweating, and that's what our deodorant all is focused on too, is just through the essential oils that help reduce the pore size or shrink the pore size a little bit, but through an astringent mechanism, is a better way to deal with that problem.
Right. Now, Dean, you're talking about the Silver Shield deodorant original formula, which has the 12 pure essential oils.
Yes, we have three formulations for our deodorant, but the original has like 12 essential oils in it that are good for dealing with bacteria and skin health and astringent properties and deodorizing. Those are the primary focus of them. You know, this also is one of the things that we were speaking about earlier, where working at those farmers markets and getting feedback from customers, we figured out, you know, a good mixture of essential oils that provided for this, but also didn't irritate, because irritation is one of the big issues too with customers. A lot of, you know, some people can be allergic, or not really allergic, but just have a sensitivity to a particular essential oil. So figuring out what are the right oils that provide for the broadest, you know, mild formulation that the few people will be sensitive to was also a big developmental issue that we had to face when developing this formula.
Right. Now, one of the other things that in our Power Mall promotions, we're offering 10% off the Silver Botanicals through the 12th of November. And like I said, make great Christmas gifts. But one of the things that you also deal in is your air fresheners and the potential for them to make your dog sick. And we have a lot of dog owners that are all familiar with that distinctive doggy smell that permeates the home, especially during the winter. And so you're using all these air fresheners and plug-ins and stuff. That really, it's called VOCs, volatile organic compounds, that are in a lot of these plug-in air fresheners. Is that true? It makes your dog sick?
Yeah, I mean, some of these air fresheners with the fragrances and compounds that they use to deodorize the air and, you know, kind of cover up odors will be found in these plug-ins. VOCs is kind of a real general term, and even essential oil, I guess, could be classified as a VOC, but a lot of the fragrances and things that are out there for dog sprays and just room deodorizers, they can be problematic because you know, usually they'll take, say, one of the active compounds in an essential oil and then synthetically produce that and then just use that in some of their fragrance blends or a couple of these isolated materials that they've kind of synthetically produced through petrochemical feedstock to produce, you know, these mixtures that have problems associated with them. For example, like say for lavender oil, linalool is one of the materials that is a major component of the lavender scent, and they'll use that in a lot of lavender fragrances. But lavender oil may have up to like 60 to 80 components to it, and we believe that, you know, God in his wisdom produced these plants to make these essential oils that where all these compounds that are in the essential oils kind of work together in like a symphony. And if you just had, you know, one of the compounds, like say the trumpets in a symphony playing, it's not going to be as harmonious and work in harmony with the human body. So we feel that using the essential oils, that there are other components to those fragrances that also play an important role in providing for a balanced approach to hygiene. So, you know, for example, like with that linalool in the lavender oil, that might have the nice scent component, but it could, you know, there are other components in that lavender oil that could provide for ways of balancing the physiological effects that that linalool may have on the human body. Just that I'm not specifically speaking to linalool, but in essential oils, taking one of the components might activate a certain physiological response, where in the essential oil there may be a countervailing component that will kind of mediate the effects of it by providing some balance to what is being activated by one is kind of being balanced by another. And if you just have products that have the synthetically produced one component, you may provide for an imbalance physiologically in your body if you just use that product that uses that one component. Sorry if I didn't explain that all that well. But
that's quite all right. The thing that most people don't understand, and I've looked at this myself, there's over 100 different chemicals being used in air fresheners, and not only can it affect the dog, but people who have asthma and sinus issues, this can affect them as well. And the sad thing is, you don't know what's in the stuff because air fresheners, unlike other products you may buy off the store shelves, are not required to list their ingredients, so you don't know what's in them.
Right.
So now the silver shield dog.
Whenever you see fragrance on a product, I mean, it could be just about anything, a mixture of, hundreds of compounds in very small levels, at low levels, and you're right, you don't know exactly how these things were made, what went into the R&D research and development of these products. Yeah, it's a big black box when you see fragrance on an ingredients panel.
Well, it's not just that, Dean. The thing that really gets me is the propellants that they use in these things. That's another aspect that I don't see. When you have the Silver Shield dog and bedding spray in the 12 fluid ounce, that's basically a spray bottle that doesn't use propellants, right?
That's correct. That's correct.
Oh, well, see, there you go, folks. This is just, we're kind of like retraining the mind to accept what's going on here. And the same that works with the deodorants. A lot of people, have been looking at these rock deodorants. You have a roll on, a spray on, and then you don't even have to throw the bottle away because now you have refills too, I understand. Are they easy to refill?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Both our roll-on bottle and our spray-on bottle have applicators that you can with the roll-on bottle, just unscrew the roll-on top, or with the sprayer, just unscrew the sprayer. And then we have refills that can refill them, and it helps reduce the usage cost for the customer and help save, it's eco-friendly because the bottles are recyclable and you're not buying a new whole applicator each time. And so it reduces. Yeah, it's a good way to just reduce your usage costs and be a little more eco-friendly.
Yeah, that is true. And so now, folks, this is not an infomercial. I'm focusing on with Dean here, who's an actual formulator, an organic chemist. And besides being on the front end of this thing and one of the founders of the company, along with Ray D'Amico, the circumstances are such that people need to understand what you are putting on your body as well as into your body makes a difference as to how your body functions and how you stay healthy, especially in times of crisis. And the fact that you can stock up by going to the Power Mall right now and get it at a discount through the 12th is one of the reasons why we're having Dean on the show, is to discuss the scientific effects of these things and how it affects you, how it affects your dog. And like I said, this is not an infomercial sitting there, but wait, there's more. This is one of those things where we get down into the trenches and look at the scientific value, which, we talk about vaccines enough. Hey, why not talk about what's in deodorant? Because this stuff affects you. The more you use it, the more more damage it does. And so you say that the colloidal silver or colloidal nano silver is one of the big ingredients in this, right?
Right. We use colloidal nano silver, which is different from a lot of the colloidal silver that people sell on the markets or the people who make colloidal silver just using like a battery or some electrical setup at home and with some silver wires. With that process, you're making something that's really an ionic silver. It's a silver salt that's being produced, which also has its benefits, but there are some drawbacks to using ionic silver. What we use is an engineered colloidal silver particle, which is in essence just, you know, around a 50 atom cluster of silver metal that's just suspended in solution. And the surface of that metal can interfere with bacterial respiration and other ways, and even like with fungus and molds and things like that, it can interfere with their replication and respiration and just energy, bringing energy into the cell. So the colloidal silver that we use is doesn't bioaccumulate to, which can happen with ionic silver. A lot of people are familiar with the blue man and how drinking and consuming a lot of colloidal silver that's in an ionic form can just be deposited into the skin, and then over a long time, if you're using it a lot and taking high doses of it, can lead to a condition called ageria, which leads to a bluing of the skin. But the true colloidal nanosilver, these small particles of silver metal, does not bioaccumulate, so there's no potential issue associated with that, even though ageria is somewhat of a boogeyman used, I think, by in certain interests to steer people away from these natural solutions to personal hygiene like colloidal silver.
Yeah, we appreciate it, Dean, that you've been able to come on the program and explain this to us. Once again, we're out of time here, and the Silver Botanicals are 10% off on the Power Mall now. And Dean, thanks so much for coming on and explaining all this to us and all of our listeners here on the Power Hour.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll visit again sometime. Anyway, you can get that at the Power Mall right now. Dave Krieger with you. It's been fun. It's been wonderful. And with having you on the Power Hour, we thank you for your phone calls. And in closing, we just, you know, stay safe. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
Heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.